You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it is time now for another edition of Your Health with Dr. Eric Grigsby, brought to you by Neurovations, a patient care and innovations company providing the best care for every patient every day. Dr. Grigsby, welcome back into the show.
Hey, good morning, Barry.
Good morning to you. Taylor's here with us as well, and we're going to talk today about fibromyalgia. I don't know if I triggered this by bringing it up last time we talked or not, but it's certainly one to talk about because you help people who struggle with this. Get us started by a simple description, explanation of what it is.
Sure. Well, first of all, good morning, Taylor. I didn't greet you yet, so hope life
it's
is
okay.
Hope life is good. So fibromyalgia is a big word, but it really means muscle and ligament pain. Simple as that. You know, myalgia is a medical term for muscle pain, and fibro, sort of the medical term for connective tissue. And it's become a little bit of a catch-all term. You know, when somebody has pain all over, sometimes the doctor or the clinician will say, you just have fibromyalgia. But it turns out that it's a pretty specific diagnosis, really. And I can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to know more because like I mentioned last time around, my mother struggled with this. At least one of my sisters does as well. Mm-hmm. And it goes back a long time in my mind from kind of a new concept that a lot of doctors poo-pooed and said, no, you really don't have anything. You're just, you know, achy. You know, there was an attitude that it didn't exist for a long time. So tell us how you and people in your profession have found this specific diagnosis.
Well, I want to amplify what you said just a little bit, which is absolutely true. And, you know, the problem with a lot of chronic illness is that there is a lot of judgment that people, you know, pass on. And sometimes clinicians and family members and others, you know, pass on to people who suffer with these conditions. And mostly when we judge things, it's because we just don't understand it. And you may remember that you may not know this story, but for many, many years back in the dark ages, epilepsy or seizure disorder was thought of as being possessed by demons.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know now that there are no demons, that it's simply a neurological short circuit that causes seizures. And so, but just imagine all the poor people that had seizure disorder and the judgment and being ostracized from society, and even worse, you know. And so there's still a lot of judgment, or even in the, especially I would say in the chronic pain field, where patients with back pain and muscle aches and various things, sometimes, you know, they struggle a little bit with people believing them and thinking, you know, maybe they're just trying to get out of work or want pain pills or, you know, whatever. And that turns out to be, you know, almost never true. You know, people just want help, don't understand it, and sometimes our medical profession doesn't understand it. And what comes out of our mouth instead of I don't understand it is there's nothing wrong with you or you just need to get over it, you know. But we don't really mean that, but that's the message that patients get a lot.
So what would a person be experiencing that would lead them to think that this maybe is a condition that they have? You mentioned muscle pain or ligament pain, but, you know, you can get that from weeding the garden or, you know, taking an extra strenuous bike ride or something. What's the difference between those kind of feelings and this really having this condition?
Well, really good question. So one thing is that it lasts a long time. And so people with fibromyalgia with the true diagnosis, it lasts a long time. And then there's pain in five different locations. And this is what sort of we use to diagnose it in the office, kind of at some basic level. And the five locations are along your spine or in the front of your body, like on your trunk, front or back, both arms, and both lower extremities. So if you have muscle pain and aching that's widespread and in all of those areas, then it's possible that you have this condition of fibromyalgia, as opposed to just having a bad back and a bad neck at the same time. And I've seen patients in my practice who, you know, honestly simply have low back pain from a disc herniation, and they have neck pain from a similar thing. And so it feels like they have pain everywhere, but when you dive into it, they really just have both neck and low back, you know, disc injuries. So this fibromyalgia is really widespread, both the trunk and all four extremities, and it lasts a long time.
Meaning that the feeling of pain goes on for hours at a time?
Well, it waxes and wanes in my experience, and every patient is different, but by a long time, I mean it lasts 3 to 6 months and longer.
That's disruptive.
Yeah.
Does it appear that fibromyalgia is caused by something certain foods? Is it an allergic reaction? Is it caused by injuries from previous activities in the past?
So I want to tell you what fibromyalgia isn't by the truest diagnosis, and then I'll tell you what it is. So what it isn't is something related to rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or Sjogren's syndrome, these autoimmune conditions. Patients with autoimmune conditions can certainly have pain all over. But in the modern definition of fibromyalgia, we probably wouldn't put them first of all in that group. Fibromyalgia is also not osteoarthritis in all the joints of your body, right? That's osteoarthritis, although it feels like there's pain all over. But what we've discovered that fibromyalgia is actually excitement or overactivity of the central nervous system. And which is why it can be familial, right? So which is why you mentioned that both your mom and your sister have it is not uncommon. It can definitely be familial. And it's because it has something to do with the way that our nervous system processes pain. And that's kind of a hard concept for people that, you know, don't think about it. But the short story is this. If you have something sensation from your arm, it goes into the spinal cord through a nerve out in your arm, and then the spinal cord actually processes it. It's not just like an electrical circuit. There's actually some processing and neurologic stuff that goes on in the spinal cord. And right where that nerve from your arm enters the spinal cord, that area can become excited. And when it's excited, then things that seem like normal sensations to you and to me and to Taylor, for patients with fibromyalgia, they can sense them as very uncomfortable or even painful. And so it's a problem of central receiving of the pain signal from your arm, let's say, that's really the underpinning of fibromyalgia. Now, that's a little complicated. You want to ask me a question about that?
I'm not sure where to start. What's the typical course of this in terms of an onset? Does it have an age range? Is it gender weighted one direction or another?
Yeah, it's a good point. There are more women than men, probably almost three women to every male who ends up with fibromyalgia, which to be candid, you know, led to back in the dark old days of medicine, led to the kind of hysterical female sort of persona, you know, which is, of course, you know, completely untrue and, you know, tremendously destructive to the women who suffered from this and a lot of other conditions. But that was sort of the early excuse, you know, that a lot of our clinicians used when we didn't really understand. It was just just craziness or hysteria. And that's, like I said before, those are the kinds of judgments and things that people say when you don't have good scientific literacy, like wearing a mask is somehow a political statement. when we know actually that piece of cloth in front of your face is actually just there to block the virus and keep you from dying. So sometimes when we have better health literacy, we don't get off in kind of judgments and not understanding what's actually happening here.
So what kind of how extreme does fibromyalgia become? Do people continue to function well with it, just being annoyed or uncomfortable but still fully functional, or does it eventually slow you down like some forms of arthritis can do, to where you really literally can't do things?
Yeah, well, it's both. You know, some people have a pretty straightforward case. They have what you would call fibromyalgia because they've had it for a long time, months or more, and they have pain all over both legs and arms and their trunk, but they're very functional. But on the deep end of it, those are the patients that I've seen more because of the nature of my practice taking care of sicker people, it can be really life-changing and really completely disabling. But again, it varies with the individual, but it doesn't naturally progress. In other words, just because you have it at a low level, you know, it's very likely to stay at a low level forever if that's the way it's declared itself for a few months or a year. And the patients that have a severe variant, in my experience, it usually gets, you know, pretty bad, pretty fast after some kind of an inciting event. And we don't actually know what makes it get bad or start to begin with. You don't quite understand that from a neurological perspective, from a nerve perspective, but whatever causes it, it sort of declares itself fairly early. Is it going to be a really bad case of it, or is it just going to kind of perk along in a pretty manageable level for a long time?
You know, when you mentioned this sort of reaction situation, or, you know, the how the mechanism of this is working, it made me think of what you referred to in terms of seizures, and it made me think of migraine headaches and other conditions where it's a stimulation of the nervous system in some way that's causing the disease or the reaction in the physical body. Is that an accurate portrayal? Are those related in that sense?
Yeah, it's good. It turns out that you're right. And it turns out that a lot of conditions and problems that we thought were somehow physical turn out to be neurological. And all of this knowledge, honestly, has been generated in the past 15 years or so. Now, I finished medical school in 1984, so it's kind of a long time ago. so I had to do a lot of what you would call OJT, right? So I had to keep reading and learning and understanding, because this field has changed probably as fast as any field, probably any other field in all of medicine in the last few years, where we understand more and more about the central nervous system and how it actually works. And it turns out, I won't go too far into, you know, the physiology or the, you know, the chemistry. We'll lose a lot of our listeners if we get too far off on chemistry. but we do understand that migraine, you know, is not a blood vessel problem. It's not a true migraine. It's not a problem with the muscles on the outside of your head. You know, it's a neurological condition. And the more we understand about it, the more we're able to work with the tools for other really bad neurological conditions, things that are really troublesome, like multiple sclerosis and ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease. And we're circling around some understanding and treatment of those really difficult conditions, because our general understanding of the nervous system has improved so much in the last 15 years. Hmm.
So for somebody who's diagnosed with this, what's the course of treatment? Can it be cured? Is it something you just have to live with?
Well, at this point, there's no specific and immediate cure. You know, there's no one pill or shot or thing to do that's going to cure it. But we can certainly manage it really, really well. And the tools are, number one, exercise. Now, some patients with fibromyalgia can't exercise at all. They can't find the place that makes it feel good as opposed to feeling bad. But everyone should give it a try. And the simplest things that we've had success with are walking in the water, like walking in a warm pool. And you know, we have a local pool here in town at one of our local fitness centers that's where you can walk, like the floor, the bottom of the pool is the same depth, you know, throughout the walk, so you can walk laps. And that's a beauty. And some people find that really, really helpful. Other people, as I said, just can't get over the hump with it. It seems to just make it more sore. So that's one good strategy. Weight loss, I think, is another good strategy, and being careful about diet, eating as clean a diet as you can without a lot of processed foods. We don't know why, but people who lose a little bit of weight, the general kind of inflammatory conditions that go along with the extra weight are significant. And, you know, it's not just that we feel heavier on the scale or we get a little bit winded when we're walking upstairs. The carrying extra fat, not so much extra muscle, but extra fat creates an inflammatory condition sort of throughout your body that seems to be related to fibromyalgia and other inflammatory conditions. And then there are medicines. There's a medicine called duloxetine, which is an antidepressant, which is used sometimes with good help. And it's not for depression, although that's associated with fibromyalgia, but it seems to help the fundamental condition in some way that's not completely known. And then getting good sleep. Just try to get sleep. Sometimes there's a need for sleep medication. And sometimes just better habits around bedtime can help you get rest. So those are the fundamentals of managing it, really briefly. In really, really severe cases, we have a way to put actually pain medicine into the spine through an implanted device, an implanted little pump device that gives medication into the spine directly. Of course, that's only, you know, reserved for really, really severe cases where people are pretty disabled, you know, by the condition.
What's the prevalence of this? I mean, cases per 100,000 or something like that. Is that known?
Yeah, you know, I understand that there are about 10 million people in the United States with, you know, fibromyalgia that's severe enough to have had the diagnosis made in the physician's office. And that's out of about 325 million people in the country overall. So, you know, it's not so common. The real variety of fibromyalgia is not so common, but it is common enough that we, in the pain practices, we see it very often. I will say that, you know, just to soothe your listeners, most of the time patients who, I'll say it's a majority of the time when patients came to me with fibromyalgia in the clinic, they actually didn't have what I would call fibromyalgia. They just had pain from a bunch of different things. You know, they had a couple of sore knees and a lumbar disc injury and a bad shoulder. And those were pretty discrete problems that had their own little solution. But somebody said, God, you know, you hurt all over. You must have fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, the true diagnosis, you know, as we mentioned a minute ago, you know, is not so common, but there are good treatments, as we said before. You know, there's a lot of hope to be had for patients if you struggle from this.
Really interesting. We've been focused on fibromyalgia on our Your Health with Dr. Eric Grigsby section this week. And folks listening have other questions we didn't cover. How can they get in touch?
Well, I appreciate it. So we're super happy to see patients in the clinic if you have this condition or you're worried about it. And the phone number at our place, which is Napa Pain Institute, part of our Neurovations company. So the phone number is 252-9660, 252-9660, or you can email us at info@napapaininstitute.com. It's info@napapaininstitute.com.
Outstanding. Dr. Grigsby, thanks for your time again today.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks, Taylor. It's great to talk to you guys on Monday morning.
We learned a lot. Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
You bet. And Your Health with Dr. Grigsby is brought to you by Neurovations, a patient care and innovations company providing the best care for every patient every day.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.